want you to declare today a perfectly positive day. Now, oftentimes people look at me as a speaker and they say, they get a case of what I call the yeah buts. Y'all ever had a case of yeah buts? Yeah, but I'd smile too. Or I'd sing too if I was young like all these girls. Well, one of the things I'm going to be doing in the next few sessions with you is I'm going to help you get rid of your yeah buts. Now, when I say a perfectly positive day, that's a day that doesn't mean everything's going to go right. That just means the day that when I get up and I commit it to the Lord and I say, Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. And then when you lay down at night, you've done the best you can, folks. That is a perfectly positive day. Life is hard, and I believe it's hard for everybody. You know, there's a lot of you that have come here today and said, you know, I don't want to hear anything positive. I just don't want to hear anything positive. And, you know, I understand that. Maybe you're like, maybe some of you feel like the title of old Louis Grizzard's, one of his books, was entitled, They Snatched My Heart Out and Stomped That Sucker Flat. I know what that's like. You know, people that are positive just get up being positive. Well, you should have been at Donna English's house this morning about 4:35. You would know that I didn't get up looking this way. In fact, I am at the age of not downhill, but upkeep. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, ladies, there's not a thing about me natural on the outside. Do y'all understand that? I was not redheaded till last year. And one day I just decided I was going to be redheaded and went home and the kids cried and the dog barked. But, you know, once you get this stuff on your hair, it's that color. Now, I'm not real on the outside, but I am real where it matters. It's on the inside. Home is where the heart is. I'm a home person, I'm a down-home person, and I'm a heart person. I speak to people's hearts. My pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, said, speak to people's hearts, because everybody has a heart, not everybody has a head. So I speak to people's hearts. I have had a lot of stuff fixed, and I do tell my age, I'm 50-something. I just want y'all to know that, I'm 50-something. I've had so much stuff fixed, I don't have any two parts the same age. I don't know if y'all understand. My motto for the 90s is fake it till you make it. And I overdo everything. I just want y'all to know. Could y'all tell? I overdo everything. But you know, after 50, it's wonderful because people think, bless her heart, she don't even know where she is, let alone what she's doing. I have one of my closest prayer partners, and some of you probably know Diane Strike, Jay Strike's wife. She's one of my closest prayer partners. So when I dyed my hair last year, she came in, she was trying to be kind to me. She said, you know, Mamie said, I never noticed how green your eyes were until you dyed your hair red. I said, Diane, I didn't have these green eyes before I got this red hair. You know, girls, I went out and bought me some green eyes. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't you glad that we live in a day and age that if you want green eyes, you can be? Joy is here, one of my friends, Joy, and she has blonde hair. Now, next year, I'm going to be a blue-eyed blonde. I'm just telling y'all, next year, I'm not going to look like this. Ladies, I'm glad that we live in this country that we can do, we can go and do. I'm glad to be a woman. I am glad to be a woman in the 90s. You know, I don't know how I would have survived 75 years ago. I probably would have been trying to lead that train across here. I don't know what I'd have done, but, you know, I'm so glad that I can have a career and I can be a mama. The greatest thing I do today is not speak and write. The greatest thing I am today is a mama. And my children are 16, 18, and 20. And I know that surprises you because I'm so old, but, and I did have them, by the way. But the reason they're so old and I'm so young is that I believe you ought to be married before you got, I mean, you know, be married before you got, had your babies. It just took me a long time to get somebody. I don't know if y'all understand that, but that's why I'm so old and they're so young. And I still say this is the best day of my life. I have two in college this year. Next year, this time, I'll have three. So if you don't buy my books today, would you buy them next year? I need all that. This is the best day of my life, and I want to be yours. Ladies, I want to. One of the things I want to do when I'm in the sessions with you is, first of all, I want you to relax. This is a retreat. This is a time that God told Elijah to come a day's journey from home and sit on the juniper tree and eat manna. We're coming away. We're coming apart, and we need that. And it's hard for us as women to do because Proverbs 31 tells us how hard we ought to work, you know. Women's greatest problems today are fatigue. The other one is self-esteem. That's why I do a lot of work with self-esteem. And I don't know about you, but for many, many years, even though I've been in the church all my life, and you know, Baptists are worse than everybody else. We have to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I try to get there on Tuesday and Thursday. So I know you agree with that as a pastor's wife. So we go all of our lives, and But you know what? You are special, ladies. And I want to tell you, I want you to get off the guilt trip. That's one of the things I tell you is get off the guilt trip, because so many times we think we have to do it like our mamas did it or our grandmamas did it. Let me tell you something, ladies. You're here today. And what I want you to do is kind of draw a circle around yourself in the next day and a half that we're together, that we're all in these groups. The singing, everything has been prayed about. Everything has been planned. It's been planned for you. It's for you to enjoy. Forget about the housework. It's going to be there. As far as I know, no one's ever gone in and done mine. I mean, just volunteered it. I am so glad that I don't have to do it like my mama does it. I noticed y'all kind of chuckled at that, my book, Get It Together, Remember Where You Put It. Well, the best chapter in this book is number 4. It's called Dust is the Protective Coating for Furniture. How many of you agree with that? I'll tell you something else you ought to get off the guilt trip about. I'm going to talk about this in my next session, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you. We have been lied to. Did you know that? Television has lied to us. They say you have to be young and blonde and skinny to be successful. I could never be 20. I don't care how positive I am and how much I thought about it. I will never be 20 again. I mean, it's a done deal. And I'm going to be 50-something till I get to be 60-something. I probably will never be skinny again. I've kind of had to give that up. Somebody said the other day, they said, well, let me just tell people you're trying to protect that size 10. You know, you have to put something out here to protect it. So, and I know you're wondering my size. I'm an 18 or 12. Just depends on how much I want it and how much it costs, how much I suck it in. I don't know if y'all understand that. But one of the most negative words, and we'll talk about words and the importance of words. The most negative word in our English language is the word D-I-E-T. I want you to get off the guilt trip. Who cares what size you are? It does not matter what the outside is. It doesn't matter what race, what color, your creed, your height, or your width. That word is negative because, first of all we do is talk about it. And we can't take this invisible baseball bat around us saying, bam, I shouldn't eat this. Bam, I shouldn't eat this. We eat that donut. Bam, I shouldn't eat this. How many of you like Snickers? Let me see your hand. You have a character flaw if you don't like Snickers. I'm just telling you. Something's wrong with you. Heaven is going to be paved with Snickers. Did y'all know that? I bet y'all didn't know that. Now, I say things that are not scriptural, okay? This is not scripture, but I'll tell y'all, okay? The second thing is, you know why they always show angels and, you know, we're going to be angels in heaven. We're going to have these robes and they're going to all be the same height. Y'all will never know how big I am in heaven because we can just fill them up if we want to. Nobody will ever know. That is not scriptural either. Now, look at this word diet. The reason it's negative is the first 3 letters are die. Have y'all ever thought about that? The last 3 is I et. Have you ever thought about that? Get off the guilt trip. So many times we look at other people and we say, yeah, we'd smile and we'd be positive, but you just don't understand what we're going through. No, I don't. There's a lot of things that haven't happened to me. I've never lost a child. I've never had cancer. There's a lot of things that have never happened to me. But I want to tell you something. My message to you is, I believe why I write and speak, and I want to tell you something that's been very difficult for me in the last 12 years, to travel. Because of being a mother to those 3 children. I want to tell you something. Whether you're married or single, it doesn't make any difference. Whether you're married or you're single, there's some single marriages, I'll just tell you that. Don't get off the guilt trip because some of you are single or some of you are married sometimes you have. It doesn't matter. What makes good kids, and I'll tell you because I've got 3 good kids, isn't that right, Dr. Mary Ellen? She knows, and she and Donna, is when you have 3 kids that have never been involved in the bad things and are all serving the Lord. And I want to tell you something. I thank God for that every day of my life. And I just hope I can continue to hold on to them and that they'll stay in God's will. Because I've done the best I can with my 3 children. And the choices they make, I don't know what they'll make. Because I have 2 that are out of high school now. And I told them this year, I said, it's just kind of like throwing you to the world. You know, I've had you for 18 years and now I'm going to give you to the world and I've done the best I can. Oh, I haven't been a perfect parent by any means. But I do know this, that I've done the best I can. And you know that's all that God expects out of us. He doesn't expect you to be any better than you are. But I want to tell you something. Our fallacy is we don't do the best we can every day. To me, a perfectly positive day is a day that you can do the best you can. And you know, that's why today, and people ask me oftentimes, say, are you successful? I said, I sure am. Because success to me is learning to live every day to its fullest. And I was talking, coming over here just a minute ago, I thought, you know, when I start thinking about how much it's going to cost me in 1 year when 3 kids are in college, I get cold sweats. But I want to tell you something. I can't live tomorrow and I can't live yesterday. This is the only day I have. So that's why I'm going to say, let's enjoy today. And like the song says, rejoice, or the verse in the Bible, for this is the day the Lord has made. Let's shut out all that other, that's, and you have all kinds of problems, I know that. With this many women in a group or this many people, you come today with all kinds of problems. But I'm going to tell you something, God cares, and He'll help you. And He sends all kinds of people to help us. Sometimes it's through a song, it's in a breakout, it's over lunch. God will speak to you. And I think the things that have been planned these next few hours with you is to help you. And that's why I'm here. I'm not here because I don't have anything else to do. I've been on the road for 8 straight days. I've already made 12 speeches this week in 6 different towns, and I made 12 different presentations. This is my 13th one this week. But I was gone for 8 days. But you know, I'm just grateful that I can leave Dallas, have dinner with my children, fly to Savannah, speak 3 times. Then get in an airplane, go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, speak all day Saturday. And then get in my car at 3 o'clock Sunday morning and drive 947 miles to the next engagement. I want to tell you something, folks. I'm not superhuman. It's God. Everything I do is God. Everything good is God. Now, the old Satan attacks me. Do y'all have trouble with him? He's just nipping at my sometimes. And you, when you're doing the best for God, he nips at you. Is that right, Gayla? He does, doesn't he? And he strikes us with fatigue. And that's when he gets after us. Well, I want to tell you something. He's not the winner. God is. We have victory in who? Jesus. Say it for me. There's victory in Jesus. I've always wanted to do that. You know, these evangelists do that. I just love it. I learned that from a TV evangelist now. Okay. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't preach. I share. I know my place in the Baptist church. So that's why I stand down here. I'm afraid I'll be saying that I'm preaching now. I don't know what are some of the potholes you have been in, but I want you to take a mental inventory. I know y'all notice this yes on me. Well, I wear this yes everywhere I go. And in fact, I do several things. When I travel about 150,000 miles a year by plane. And I smile at everybody I come to. And I notice some of you not smiling this morning. That concerned me a little bit. Because I have a theory about smiling. I said, if you have a smile and you don't give it away, I heard it would enlarge and settle in your hips. Now, I don't know if that's right or not, but I don't need any help, so I just grin at everybody I come to. Now, I know you notice this bee on my shoulder, and I wear it everywhere I go, and it's amazing how many people think I don't know it's there. I was on the other airplane the other day, and I was sitting there, and of course, I just speak to everybody that gets on the plane, you know, and hello, 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 because you don't ever know. You know, you just don't ever know who you know. And so so this man stopped at me and he looked at me and thought, well, she is speaking to me. Who is she? You know, just like, give me a break, lady. What are you doing? So I just asked, how are you? He said. He said, well, did you know you got a bug on your shoulder? I looked up at him and I said, yes, sir, it's better than a chip. Don't y'all think it's better than a chip? Yes. He said, well, it sure is. What? I said, let me tell you why I wear it. If I can keep them there longer. I said, aerodynamically, a bumblebee cannot fly. They tell us that his body is too heavy and his wings are too light, but the bumblebee doesn't know it. So he just flies. But I said, you know, really the reason I wear it is that to ask you that if you died today, where would you spend eternity? In fact, the reason I wear it is ask you, do you believe? And they look at me, and then they walk away because they're not about to ask me what yes means. Well, the reason I wear it, if they ever do, I'm going to say, this means, have you said yes to Jesus? Because that's the only question anybody will ever ask you that'll amount that's worth their whole lifetime. It's for you to answer the question, yes to Jesus. I want to tell you what yes means to me. There's a program in schools called No to Drugs, and I don't disagree with it. I agree with No to Drugs. I've just spoken to probably 5,000 young people. This is what I did. The 12 speeches Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday were for young people. That is hard work. I just want y'all to know that. But I agree with no, but it's kind of like a diet. If you're going on a diet, don't tell me what I can't eat. Tell me what I can eat. I think we ought to tell these young people what they can do. And yes, is an acrostic, means you expect success. God expects success from us. You expect success. I expect success. We expect success. Next, success is different things to different people. As I said, I don't know where you are today. Maybe some of you came so tired you couldn't even get up like I did. I put one foot out of the bed this morning, the other foot said I ain't coming. I don't know if you had a day like that. My age, if it don't work, it don't hurt. If it don't hurt, it don't work. So maybe you understand that. I want you to take a mental inventory. Let me turn this around because I want you to start saying yes. But the most important thing is is, have you said yes to Jesus? Have you ever been, now don't say anything out loud, I just want you to think this to yourself. Have you ever been dirt poor? Have you ever been abused as a child? Have you ever felt that you were nobody from nowhere and would never amount to anything? In other words, have you ever felt like a zero? Have you ever been rejected? Have you ever been divorced? Have you ever been widowed? Have you ever been a single parent? Have you ever been extremely lonely? Have you ever been seriously ill? Have you ever been severely depressed? You're saying that is depressing. Yes, it is. But that is just some of the things that have happened to me. And I still stand here and tell you that today is the best day of my life. You know, it took me a long time to understand forgiveness. And the Bible says we forgive 70 times 7. But so many times, and I think that's why women's ministry has been so hard sometimes, is that sometimes we're not very forgiving of one another as women. I say men have a built-in bubble ship that women don't have. And I think that's why we get together for a weekend like this, is to have a sistership. That we're all, that we're not here to criticize each other. We're here to build each other up. We're here to edify and to encourage. Yes, I hope people say that she encouraged me, because that's one of the greatest thing anybody can say, is that I was an encourager. My expertise is in overcoming adversity. My expertise is not in anything else but overcoming adversity. And my thing is, if I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I grew up in South Georgia. I don't know if y'all thought I had a twing twang or sing sang, but I'm Southern. And I grew up, I'm a Southern girl and I'm a country girl. I don't know if you've ever, I know y'all think I'm Western, but I'm country and Western. I just want y'all to know that. But my father, I was really born out in the country on a sharecropper's farm. Do y'all know what sharecroppers are? This is yes, this is no, okay? Well, a sharecropper is when you've been poor and had a relapse. Now, that's kind of how I was born. My father died when I was 3 years old, and he left my mama with 9 kids under 17. My mama could not read nor write. But my mama is in the Hall of Faith. And that's what I pray for my 3 children, is that they will be in the Hall of Faith, not Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith. I cannot imagine the faith that my mama's had through the years. She passed away 15 years ago. That she was left with 9 kids. And ladies, she did something the day that we buried my father that I'm asking you to do. And maybe this weekend can be a time of recommitment. My mama, as they gathered around after my daddy's funeral, we lived 5 miles out from Dixie, Georgia. Now, Dixie, Georgia is in South Georgia. It is a town of 75 people. That's where I was raised. I wasn't born there. I was born out in the country. But I was raised in Dixie. Dixie is a little bitty town. It has 75 people. In fact, our Avon lady doubles as a church bell. So you know it's not a very big place. The day that my father died, my kinfolks gathered around, and they told my mama that they wanted to help her and that they were going to separate us. They said, we'll take the big kids upstate Georgia. And my mama said, what about my babies? I was 3 years old. My little brother was 18 months. Martha Ann. By the way, my name was Mamie Claire Darlington from Dixie, Georgia. Does that sound Southern to y'all? That is Southern. And they still call me Mamie Claire. Everybody has a double name. I was 3. Martha Ann was 5. Mary Lou was 7. You know, every 2 years, 18 months, 2 years, there's another baby. And mama said, well, what about my babies? What are you going to do with my babies? And they said, we'll put them in an orphanage. Now, my mama stood up, ladies, and she said something that has meant so much to me through the years. Grammatically incorrect, but profound. My mama stood up and she looked them all in the face and she said, ain't nobody going nowhere. In other words, they're my young'uns and I'm going to raise them. And she did. My kinfolks disowned us that day. I had kinfolks that lived 100 miles from where I was raised and I never saw them. Never knew they were there until I wrote my first book. If I'd known I was going to ever meet them, I wouldn't have talked about them in this book. But in fact, all my life, I thought I was handicapped because I didn't know my kinfolks. But you know, when I met them, guess what I found out? I hadn't been handicapped. I had been blessed. How many of y'all got some kinfolks like I got? I don't know where they came from. I don't think they belong to me. I really don't. Well, I want to tell you, it's not what happens to you. It's what you make out of it. It's not where you start in life, it's where you finish. Everybody has a person in their lives, 2 people I want to share with you. As I said, I would not have talked about this aunt in this book. I need some water, and I'm sorry I told you I didn't, but nothing's wrong, just something. Thank you. Don't worry about my voice. It never goes out. Okay? I want to tell you what I did to somebody that it's not scriptural, it's not right. Had my mama been living, I wouldn't have done it. But you know, you do things you shouldn't when your mama's not with you. And I'm still blaming my bad things on that. I had, when I was a grown woman, I asked my mama one day, I said, "Mama, why didn't you ever go to church with us?" She said, "Honey, what do you mean?" I said, "Mama, I went to church all my life, and why didn't you go with us? I never saw you in church when I was growing up." She said, "Oh, no, honey, I went, but you didn't see me." I said, "No, Mama, you never went, because we just had one little, about this section right here, church, you know, just one big room." She said, "Well, honey," said she, lowered her eyes, and I'll never forget it. She said, "Honey, I never went inside, but I always heard the sermons." She said, "I never went inside the church because I never had anything decent to wear." But she said, "After I would send you children to church, I would run up to the church and I would stoop down." She said squat. Y'all know what squat meant? She said, "I would squat down by the window and I'd listen to the service through the open windows. And when church was over, I would run home before anybody could see me." Now this breaks my heart that my mama did not have a decent dress to wear to church. Ladies, I want to tell you something. Every one of you ought to go home and clean out your closet and give somebody something, because they may not be going to church because they never had anything to wear. We take it for granted that people have things to wear, and it's not true. I knew that my mother had a sister that lived about 100 miles from there, and I thought, why didn't this aunt send my mom a dress? So when I talk about her in this book, I want you to know it's because of this incident. It's not right, but I didn't think I'd ever meet her. And she'd never been to a family reunion. 48 years, never meeting her. The chances of ever meeting her, I thought, were nil. 2 weeks after this came out, 20,000 copies, she comes to family reunion. Now, I call her Aunt Sarah in this book. Her real name's Aunt Catherine. I want y'all to know that. But I call her Aunt Sarah. She knows who she is. Now, I heard Aunt Catherine was rich. Well, why didn't she send my mom a dress? I still don't know. Maybe she had more problems than we had, different kinds. You know, you never know why people do things. So at family reunion, I have 48 nieces and nephews, so I took my books to family reunion. I was sitting there, autographing them, and here comes this aunt. I thought, maybe if I won't look at her, she won't speak to me. But you know, how many of you are from a family of more than four? Isn't it true that nobody ever knows which one you are? Nobody ever knows which one you are from year to year. And when you don't like people, you know how you don't want them to speak to you? Now, this is not Christian. This aunt looked down at me, and she says, "Now, which one are you?" Have you ever wanted to slap somebody when they said hello to you? I mean, we've done that, haven't you? You just disliked them so much. And it had nothing to do with her personally. It's the fact that my mama, and I just want to tell you all that, but it's still not right. So I looked up at her and I said, "Well, Aunt Catherine, I'm Mamie Claire. I'm the baby girl. There were six girls and three boys, and I'm the baby." She says, "Oh, and what do you do?" I said, "When?" I do different things different times, don't y'all? You tell I didn't like her. I wouldn't have done that had my mom been living now. So I said, "Well, Aunt Catherine," I said, "I'm a speaker and a writer. This is my first book, I Can, You Can Too," and that's my name right there. And she says, "Can you write?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. Can you read?" So I sold her a book. Now, let me tell you what an Aunt Catherine is. It's a person that we allow to make us feel inferior. In Genesis 1:26, it said that God created us in His own image. It says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But how many of us grew up in these good old Bible churches and still don't believe the whole Bible? How many of you read the newspaper? Come on. How many of you believe everything you read in it? How many of you read the Bible? How many of you believe everything you read in the Bible? But you know what we do? We read more about what we don't believe than what we do believe. We ought to read that Bible. The Bible has it all in there. And I'm going to say something. And keep reading it until it gets down to your heart. You know, we read a lot from the head, but it has to get to the heart. And the home is where the heart is. Aunt Catherine is, as I said, a person that is always we allow to put us down, make us feel inferior. In other words, we're always comparing ourselves to them. Get rid of the Aunt Catherines in your life, because God gave you talent and abilities. And let me tell you something, you're the only person that can use them. Everybody take your thumb, look at it. Did you know you're the only person in the whole wide world that has a thumbprint like that? The only one? Which tells me that you're a thumb body. And you're a thumb body. And you're a thumb body. You are the only one with those talents and abilities, and you are the only person that can use them. When Baby Mason sings it after a while, well, she said, you couldn't sing like she could. You couldn't sing like these ladies did, or direct like you did, or do things like Gayla does, or anybody else. But you have, God has given everybody talent and ability, and you know what educate means to draw out? That's what we're here for, is to draw out, to tell you that you have capabilities and you have talents, because I felt I didn't for 30-something years of my life. Had nothing to do with it, but I just did not believe what the Bible said about me. See, I have a sister named Martha Ann. There's another person you need to get rid of in your life. It's Martha Ann. Now, I look at Martha Ann when I was growing up, and I said, God, you made her perfect, and then just look at me. What, God, why didn't you make me look better? Martha was 5'6". I'm 5'9 and a half without shoes on. I'm 6 feet tall with these heels on. I've been this tall since the 12th grade. I used to be real skinny, as I said. Martha was real petite, pretty hair. The only thing I ever wanted to be as a child was a wife and mother. But I looked in the mirror. I used to break out in these red splotches all over me. I was so shy. I used to have buck teeth. These teeth are mine because I bought and paid for them. But they used to stick straight out. And people used to call me Happy Child because I couldn't get my lip down over my teeth. I just smiled at everybody I came to. And they thought, isn't she a happy person? Well, if you can't get your lip down, you can't do nothing but smile. Martha Ann is a person that what in our lives that we compare our worst feature to their best feature, and you quit doing it. But that's what we do. You know what? I think you ought to look at other people and have this attitude. Hey, they have one head and I have one. They have two arms, I have two. They have two legs, I have two. And they don't have a thing I can't get fixed. I think that's the kind of attitude we ought to have. Whatever. Fix it up. Whatever you don't like about yourself. We live in the best age. I believe you can get plastic surgery with a McDonald's coupon now. I mean, it's everywhere. I got an estimate the other day. I just want y'all to know I got an estimate. I'm not going to have it done, but I thought I'd just go to a surgeon and see what he could do, and it's a big estimate, but I probably won't ever have it done, but, you know, it was just fun just to see. They can do everything now. They can switch you around and everything. Well, you know, a Martha Ann is a person, and you need to get rid of those Martha Anns. It could be a spouse. It could be somebody in the church. It could be a friend, somebody in your family. Do not compare yourself with other people. Get up and do the best you can because you're all that you have. And you know, there's a lot of things we have no control over. We have no control of the weather. We have no control of this construction out here. I heard they stopped up all your gates yesterday, and that was probably, if you could have controlled that, I'm sure you would have done that. There's a lot of things, some sickness we have no control over. You cannot control other people. The only thing you have any kind of control over yourself. But so many times, have y'all ever done anything that you wondered why you did it? How many of you have had somebody else and they did something and you wonder why they did what they did? But you know, if you can't ever figure out why you did what you did, why do you waste your time trying to figure out why somebody else did what they did? Because you don't even know why you did what you did. Isn't it amazing how we waste energy? When I graduated from high school, I was the eighth Darlington to go through Dixie schools. Nobody encouraged me. Nobody looked at me and said, Mamie Claire, why don't you go to school to be a teacher or a speaker or trim hair or paint toenails? Why? Because we all do it. We label people. I have a dream of having a school where you never knew people's last names or their IQs. I wonder what kind of kids would turn out. But I will tell you something. When God gives you a desire, He already has a plan to complete it. Is that a yes? Yes. Listen to me. When God gives you a desire, He has a plan to complete it. He knows, and if your heart's right, I believe God will make your head right. When I graduate, there's nine of us. There's one of everything in my family. This car we're driving is less than 2 years old. It has 135,000 miles on it. My own sister, Mary Lou, bless her heart. Y'all know her. She just turned 60. 8 years ago, she learned to drive, but she won't turn left. Her whole life is turning right. She said, if you turn left, they'll hit you. They'll hit you. Don't you turn left. Isn't that a hoot? I mean, my own sister. I've driven all over this country, a lot of times by myself. Not my sister. Same family. Same mama, same daddy, raised in the same house. Have another sister, bless her heart. I've written these two books. I've really written two other books, and I wrote the I Can curriculum. 5 million kids have taken the course. But did you know that I have a sister that we get a letter from her? Don't know what she says, but we get a letter from her. She stayed in first grade 3 years. I guess she liked it. But my own sister. But she sends everybody in the family birthday cards. My birthday's in April. I got my birthday card in October last year. She has no idea when my birthday is. She sends it at her convenience. Boy, that's simplifying life, isn't it? She goes to Walmart and she buys those big old boxes of cards that say get well and sympathy and recovery, you know, that are real cheap. Last October, I opened up my card and it said get well. She put one line through it and said happy birthday. I wasn't sick, and it wasn't my birthday, but it was a surprise. So I guess that, you know, that's what a card's supposed to do. She sends her Christmas cards. I don't know when she's going to send them this year. Last year she sent them in July. So she just sends them when she has time. Hate to tell you this. I have a brother that's still mad because our daddy died when we were young and left us poor. But I want to tell you something. None of us here are in charge of life and death. I think everything in life that happens to us makes us bitter or better. The only difference is the letter I. I think we need to take everything, and as Christians, we need to make something better out of every bitterness in our lives. And rain falls on everybody. But if we didn't have rain in our lives, life would be a desert. Now, I want to tell you, you get your life worked out and the bottom falls out. If y'all found that to be true with y'all, it happens to me. I'll get it worked out, and sometimes I go lower, sometimes I go higher. But you know, life is kind of like this, but it's not easy. God said, I will not leave you comfortless. He never said comfortable. Y'all get that word mixed up? Sometimes I do. Married when I was 32, had my first child at 34, second went 36, third went 37. Didn't mean to have them, but I had to hurry. And I wrote the I Can curriculum. Zig Ziglar tried for 10 years to get me to, 3 years to come to work for him. I did work for him for 10 years. I went on my own 4 years ago. I'll never forget Zig calling me one day when I was a high school principal in South Georgia. I taught school for 9 years and had those babies. And see, when I got married, I made a choice either to never marry or marry and work because I've supported my mother since I was 16 years old. And I don't make any excuses for working. I've just never had anybody to make my living very much. So I have had to do it. I could have gone on welfare or I've worked, and I've worked. And I want to tell you something, it's been very hard, but not any harder than what you've gone through. Because there's a lot of folks here that know about hard work. But when Zig Ziglar called me in 1978, he said, Miss Mamie said, he'd been teasing me about coming to work for him in Dallas. He said, Miss Mamie, I talked to the Lord this morning. He said, you was coming to work for me. I said, you know, I talked to him too, and he didn't mention it. I never dreamed I was going to live in Dallas, Texas. Never dreamed I'd be a speaker. Never dreamed I'd be a writer. I never sat on a step one day and said, one day I'm going to be in that big church in Southern Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, and I'm going to be speaking to women from across the state or two states. Never had this dream. This is God's plan. It's not my plan. Because I've wanted to stay home and bake cookies, frankly. That's what I want to do, and go to PTA and sew and can, and I can do all that. I just don't have time to do much of it anymore. In fact, ladies, get off the guilt trip about cooking. You don't have to cook every meal to have good kids. I have raised my children on public food and public schools. I just want y'all to know that. When my children get hungry, I tell them just to go get in the car. There are 16,000 restaurants in Dallas. Why should I do the cooking? Now, we moved to Dallas in 1979. After my mother passed away, I never would have left South Georgia until my mother died. We came there. If I'd have known what was going to happen, I wouldn't have left South Georgia. But you know, God's timing. It's not our timing. September, almost to this day, 12 years ago, I sat in a hotel room attending a school board meeting in San Antonio, Texas. And out of the blue, unbeknowing, unsuspecting, my husband dropped dead of a heart attack just that quick. Let me tell you how quickly life can change for you. I'm not sure that I would have had those babies had I known I was going to have to raise them by myself. But I want to tell you something. It's not what happens to you. It's what you make out of it. And I have a wonderful family. I have one little sister that came to the funeral and said, Mamie Claire, I bring home $93 a week, and I'll send you $25, and if you need $50, I'll send it to you. Some of these people here know my precious sister Mary Lou. She's the one that won't turn left. And she works now at $123 a week, standing up on her feet 40 to 60 hours. That's the kind of family I come from, hard workers, but are golden. They all love the Lord, and they'd do anything in the world for me. I'm so glad that God has afforded me a way that I haven't asked my family for money. Had to, but let me tell you something. They've offered me support and unconditional love. I'll talk about that in my closing tomorrow, is unconditional love.
But you know it's not what happens to you, it's what you make out of it. I believe with all my heart that I have a special relationship with my three children that I would not have had Don lived. Oh, I wish that my children could have had a father, because I never dreamed I'd have to raise my children without their father. But you know what? Life is tough. It's tough for everybody. But you know, you have to just keep looking up at what you have and not what you don't have. And what you don't have and what hurts and what's wrong is the easiest thing for us to do. That's why I talk about how to be up in a down world. Because I want to tell you something, folks. We have to. There's some things that are just we have to do to make it in life. Now, what are my kids are going to remember about growing up? I think this is the thing that is strong is I believe in you. And this is what I'm going to close with is I believe in you. I just want y'all to know that I'm here for you today and tomorrow. When I'm not speaking or in one of my sessions, I'm going to be out there at my table. I want to tell you something real good has happened. I remarried 8 months ago. I met a man in my Sunday school class at Prestonwood Baptist Church, and he was retired. We dated 6 years. And I know he didn't know it was going to be this hard when he married me. But he is my business manager, and he's the one that has put 135,000 miles on that car. Herschel is my opposite. He's an introvert. I'm an extrovert. He's a head person. I'm a heart person. But I believe God sends people into your life that helps you. And I'm so grateful that I have someone. He's here with me today. But he's not a hugger like I am. How many of you are huggers? Anybody huggers? Well, he's come a long way. But, you know, I'm just naturally hug folks. I said, if it moves, feed it and hug it. If it doesn't, dust it or sell it. Do something to it. So. I will have some handouts for you all that you can pick up later. But this is what I want you to remember. No matter what you've done, I believe in you. No matter what's happened to you, I believe in you. No matter what people say, I believe in you. No matter if you're rich or poor, I believe in you. No matter your age or size, I believe in you. No matter your IQ, I believe in you. No matter where you live, I believe in you. No matter your position or lack of one, I believe in you. No matter, I believe in you.